Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi Shvuos, Daf Lamed Beis. We begin on Lamed Aleph Amed Beis, five lines off the bottom, right after the Mishnah. Omar Shmuel. So back to Shvuos Eidus, which entails Edom, who should have, they're obligated to do so, they have a mitzvah, to testify on behalf of their fellow Jew. They turned down this offer when they were summoned to do so by the plaintiff. Right, he had approached them and requested that they come and testify on his behalf in a monetary dispute with his opponent. They had information on hand which would enable them to testify, and they pretended not to have that information with them. We have no clue, we have no idea what you do. And they swore to that effect. So they denied, they did a kfiro with Eishvu, that they have no ability to testify on his behalf. It turns out they're lying. They must bring a korban. Now in the Mishnah, we have it described as the fellow approaching, Omar Lishnayim, right? He approached his two friends, requesting their help, summoning them to the Din Torah. Now, what if he never actually officially summoned them? They noticed him, chasing them, running after them in the street. And they simply guessed that that was on his mind. Omar Shmuel, Ra'u Sherot Achrayim. So the two Edim, the two potential Edim, notice this fellow running behind them, chasing them. Armulay, they turn around. What can we do to help you? Ma'ata Ratz Achreini, why are you running after us? Well, he says, before he got a chance to say anything, they preempted it. Why are you chasing us? Oh, probably because Shal Shvuah She'einanu Yoidin Chaidus. They guessed his intention and they preempted it. We swear that we have nothing to testify about. Turns out they're lying. They are exempt. Peturin. Why? Ad sheyish meumi piv. Their shvua, their denial, must be in response to his invite. So he must first ask, and they respond with a denial. But if they offered on their own, they are potter. Rashi later brings the points to the pasuk. Im loy yagid. The word loy in the Torah is spelled lamed vav, which means to him, loy, to him, and also with an aleph, lamed vav aleph, interesting word. So if they will do a loy, they will do a no, a denial, loy, to him. So it's specific to where they personally are confronted by their friend, and they turn him down. Well, says the Gemara, it's a Mishnah. Well, what's the big chiddush of Shmuel, Micah, Mashmuel, and Tanina? We have a Mishnah that requires the fellow to approach them personally. It's a Mishnah later on, the Flamet, hey, Tanina, shilach biad avdoi. So the fellow sent his eved to, approach the Edim. Oisha amr lehen hanitpa, or let's say the defendant approached the Edim, those who have information to help his opponent, the plaintiff. So the defendant actually initiated this conversation, and he said, Mashbi ani aleichem, shim atem yoidin lo edus. I'm imposing upon you a shvua, that if you have any information which would enable you to testify for him, for my opponent, he's doing him a favor, he's doing him a service, he's getting them to help his shetavoyu v'teidu, please come and testify on his behalf. So I'm making a shvua to that effect, and they deny it. Hareilo peturim. They're a potter. Why? Ad sheyishmu mipiateveya. Unless they hear it directly. They get a direct summons from the teveya, the plaintiff himself. So it has to be personal. You can't even use a shliach. So what's a Shmuel's, chiddush here, that if he was chasing them, then it doesn't work. It's a Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Ratzach Rein, there's an extra chiddush. There's an extra lesson embedded in this scenario. Because I would think that chasing is tantamount to verbal expression, right? Because his actions are a clear indication of his intentions. He was really, you know, trying to get them to testify. And they understood that, and that's why they responded in kind. So perhaps that counts as a personal invite. Perhaps I would say, since he's chasing them, it's as though he told them. Straight out, Kamash Mon, the point is no. He has to express it verbally. Well, that's also included in the Mishnah. Look at our Mishnah, which begins with the words, Shvuas Eidus Ketzad. How does this play out? Amar le'edim, right? He approached the Eidim personally, requesting their help. Bo'yu ve'eiduni Shvuah. And they responded with Shvuah. They denied it. So the Lashon of the Mishnah would indicate that, in fact, he has to personally summon them. Amar, only if he said so. In, yeah. Lo Amar, but otherwise loy. So that halacha is already taught in the Mishnah. Well, Amar lav dafka. Although the Mishnah does refer to his approaching them, it's not necessarily so. It's just, you know, describing your typical, event. And that's why she wants to tell us that it is critical. Because dilo te mahachi. Otherwise, if you don't agree with me that Omar, in this case, is just a play of circumstance, well, gabi pikadon. Let me take you over to the Mishnah by shvuas ha-pikadon. Tani Shvosa Pikadon Ketzad, so that's the fellow who denies having, you know, an item that was allegedly put into his under his care by this owner, and he swears to the effect that he doesn't have it. Shvosa Pikadon Ketzad Amarloi. So the owner approaches the Shaymer, Tengli Pikadon Shesh Liyotcha, please, could I have back my item? Amarloi, right? He approached him and he asked him for it. And the fellow turned it down, he lied, he swore. Hachinami Amar in, would you suggest that in this context as well, you must have the owner approach him, Amar, and ask for it, and then the process is applied, Loi Amar Loi, but otherwise not. Suppose the Shomer, the fellow who was meant to watch the item, on his own, gets up and declares, I don't have it, and he swears to that effect. Don't you think he's chayev? Surely, the pasuk says he lied to his friend. He lied. It doesn't say that it was in response to a request, right? Kodu, any which way. No, so you must say elo. Apparently, Omar. The word Omar in that Mishnah is not necessarily, you know, vital. Lav dafka. It's just, you know, description of events. It's your typical, but it's not really required. Hachinami lav dafka. The same with the Amar in our Mishnah. By Shvuos Eidus, you would think, without Shmuel, that it's just describing the typical event. It's not really required. And that's why Shmuel has to teach us otherwise. Says the Gemara, hold it. You can't say that it's just, you know, by the way. It says Amar in our Mishnah, by Shvuos Eidus. It says Amar again by Shvuos HaPikadon. So, if the Amar in our Mishnah would be exact and accurate and necessary and critical. So it makes sense that the next Mishnah just, although it's not critical there, but it just decided to choose similar language, matching language to our Mishnah. But if the word Amar in our Mishnah is not really necessary, so why does the Mishnah even trouble itself to refer to this word Amar over here and later, right? Hi, Mai. How does this work? I am Mishloima Amar Docha Dafka. Certainly, if the word Amar now Mishnah is dafka, is exact, is necessary, is critical, because Shavuos Eidus must have that element of personal petition. Tana, Hasam Atuhacha. So you could explain that Atuhacha, once it said it by us, the Mishnah repeated similar language later on by Pikadon, even though over there it's not really required. Eli Amrasli Amar. The Hasam Dafka. However, if you're telling me, Loi Amar the Hasam Dafka, the word Amar over there by Pikadon is not really necessary. V'loy, and likewise, nor is the Amar over here important. The Acha Davka. So then why even use the word Amar? Once and again, Amar, Amar Lamali. The Misnai, why even mention it? Well, because again, perhaps it's just describing your typical circumstance. It's not necessarily a halachic point. Dilma urcha demosa kamashmon. The Mishnah simply is just using, you know, typical descriptive words. Okay, so you wouldn't really know anything from the Mishnah. Hence, Shmuel needed to come teach us that in fact, Shvuos HaEdus must be triggered by the Baal Din approaching the Eidim personally, asking for their help, and having been turned down. Tanakh Vayesed the Shmuel, we have a brisa which supports Shmuel's point. Ra'u Shabach Reyan. So the Eidim noticed this fellow behind him. Amr Lai Mata Bach Reyan, why are you following us? In fact, Shvuos HaEin Anu Yedin Chaydus, we have no idea with respect to your upcoming court case. Piturin, even though they're lying, they're potter, because it was not in response to his petition. However, Vimi Pikadin, a similar situation by a Shvuos HaPikadin, where the Shomer declared voluntarily that, you know, he doesn't have the item. Chayav, in this case, they're Chayav, because the summoning element is not required by Pikadin. Okay, so bottom line is, Shmuel teaches us, and it's based on the pasuk Im lo yagid, it must be to him dafka, to the Teveya, to the Baal Din, who had summoned them, who had subpoenaed them, who had requested that they come help him in his monetary court case against his opponent. They turned down the offer with a Shvua derchayiv. But if it wasn't in response, they are potter. By Pikadin, either way, you're chayiv. Yishbiyah leim chamisha pa'amim, Mishnah speaks about this fellow who imposed shvua after shvua after shvua upon these Edim, and this was in the street, outside Bezdin, and they denied him over and over again, and then they come into the Bezdin, and they admit, they say, oh, actually, you know, we can help you, they're a potter. But if they maintain their denial, they're a chayiv. Not only are they chayiv, the Mishnah says they're chayiv five times, because, you know, each denial, each shvua that they accepted is a separate liability, because they could have just turned around and admitted after the first time, right? Why'd they have to reinforce their denial over? So each one is considered a separate offense, a separate deprivation. They deprived them of their assistance. So each one's a separate liability with a separate carbon. But first we're going to focus on the fact that the Shvua was outside and the Kfira, the denial, was in the Bezdin. How do we know that works? Especially according to the Chachamim, that Shvua Sa'edis is limited to within, you know, the Bezdin setting. Menolan da Kfira Bezdin hu d'machayv. How do we know that they're chayv upon denying in the Bezdin? Achutz lebezdin lo mechayv, but if it transpired outside the court, they're not chayv. Amar Abaye, Amar Kro, the Pasuk says, Im lo yagid v'nasa avoynoi. If he failed to testify, bad news. We learn from here that this whole episode took place inside the courtroom setting where you could testify, right? This is specific to location which allows for testifying. Only in a place that in fact, if this aide or these aidim would have come forth and cooperated, then in fact they would have earned this guy an income, meaning he could have won the case and extracted his money from his opponent. So it's strictly in the Bezdin. If Bezdin is required, if location is critical, so then require that the Shvua itself also is in the Bezdin. And otherwise, if it's outside law, it doesn't count. And the Mishnah seems to indicate that the Shvua can take place anywhere as long as they maintain their denial in the Bezdin and they expressed it as such. Says the Gemara, that's not necessary. You can't suggest as such. We're going to prove that even if the actual oath took place outside, as long as they maintained their denial in the Bezdin, their chayiv. How do I know? The Sanya, the Braisa, quotes the Pasuk la'achas. So the pasuk says, v'hoya ki yasham la'achas me'ela. He had this, you know, specific offense, la'achas, one. We learn that we split, and his chayiv, we split the episode, and give him multiple liabilities, even if it relates to the same case, such as in our story, due to multiple denials and multiple oaths, which turned out to be false. L'chayiv al ko'achas v'achas. He's chayiv on each one separately. Now, we're going to prove that this must have happened, the shvua aspect. The denial was in Bezdin, but the shvua aspect certainly took place outside Bezdin. Otherwise, you wouldn't be chayiv five times over. Because, as we explained in the Mishnah yesterday, once the eight issues, that first denial, I can't help you, I'm sorry, I have nothing to say on this matter. If it takes place inside the court, it's toast, done deal. He can't undo that. He can't retract an in-court testimony. So whatever follows, even multiple denials that follow that initial denial, are worthless. Advarim betalim, empty words. They have no meaning because he could not have helped him at this point. It's over. He's off the witness list. So at most, it's only one liability on account of that first denial. The fact that the Bryson teaches us that there is a possibility. There is a scenario which generates multiple chiyuvim. Clearly, this was where the initial denial, the shvuah, took place outside Bezdin. Now, outside Bezdin, he can just retract. He can come back and say, "Look, I'm sorry, but I lied to you. I'm gonna come help you. I'm gonna testify. I have the information on hand." So now he could come back and do that. He could come back and cooperate. And the fact that he denied again, he reinforced his denial again. That's a separate offense. It's like he made him lose his money all over again and deprived him of testimony all over again. And that's why it's chayiv for each one separately. And that must have taken place outside Bezdin, which allows retraction and correction. Because if this would have taken place in the Bezdin, mima chayiv al kol achas v'achas, since when would he be chayiv separately for each denial? Atzinan, the Mishnah clearly says otherwise. Hishbiya alayin chamisha pa'am b'fnei Bezdin. If the fellow imposed on them a shvua five times in a row inside the court, the kafru, and they denied, ein chayavin ela achas, only chayiv one. Amar Rav Shimon, and Rav Shimon explained, that's matam, why is that so? Because once you're in Bezdin, it's the first statement that counts, and after that it's over. Once they make that first denial, they can't turn around and lachzor lahoides and retract and admit and cooperate. So whatever happened after that first denial is really worthless. In any case, once we see that there's a multiple liability type of circumstance, it must have been speaking outside the Bezdin. And that proves our point. Elash mamino, that although the ultimate, you know, denial had to take place in the Bezdin, but the initial part of this process, the shvua, the initial denial, certainly could take place outside the Bezdin. Shvua chutz le Bezdin. As long as the kfira was in the Bezdin. So the Edom turned them down. Kofr shnein ka'achas chayavim. If they turned them down simultaneously, they're chayav. But the Mishnah says, if it was done sequentially, so he approached Reuben and Shimon, his friends, please testify on my behalf. Reuben and Shimon both responded with a no, with a shvua, they're chayav. But suppose Reuben was kofr, he denied, he lied, and an hour later, Shimon followed with the same. In this case, the Mishnah says only Reuben is chayav because at that point, he could have potentially helped, right, together with his friend Shimon, and testified. So if he turned it down, he's chayav. But later on, an hour later, when Shimon comes and is kofr, he's not really depriving him of testimony because he's stranded, he's one aid alone. What could one witness on his own do? I can't really help you. At most I can do is come there and testify and perhaps, you know, push your opponent into a corner and squeeze a shvu'ah out of him, right? If one is confronted by an aid echad, he has to swear to defend his position. But in terms of, you know, actual monetary gain, I couldn't have been of much help to you. So in that case, the Mishnah says, Shimon is pater. But if it happened together, they both denied at the same time, they're chayiv, because at that point, they were both eligible edim, they were both potential witnesses, who could bring him gain. Now, what does it mean, ka'acha, simultaneously? Ha'yevshel etzamtzem, asks the Gemara. They can't do it exactly at the same moment. Omer of chizda ha'mani rabbi seg lili, domer shel etzamtzem, going like rabbi seg lili, discussed the maseches b'chayres, by the animal who gave birth to two firstborns, and both considered b'chayrim. Yeah, it's possible for two things to happen exactly at the same time. Likewise, over here, both their denials were simultaneous with each other. Rabbi Yechon disagrees. He says, even the Rabbanon who hold that generally, you can't time things so perfectly. In this case, they'll agree that they're both chayev for Shavuos Ha'edus. Kigon shekaf for shnein, but teich kedei dibor. True, they're not speaking at the same time. But as long as they were close enough within this short lapse of time called teich kedei dibor, the time it takes to greet your Rebbe or your student, 2-3 seconds, right? As long as it happened within that, that's okay. But teich kedei dibor, within that lapse of time, kedibor dami, it's like one continuous experience, in which case we deem it as a simultaneous denial. Amar Rav Acha medifta Ravina, I have a question. How could you suggest that both witnesses issued their respective denials within this short time frame? I mean, michti, take a close look at the shiur of teich kedei dibor. How much is it? Kama havi? Kedei she'elas tamad l'rav? For a student to greet his Rebbe. Shalom, right? Alecha Rebbe. There's a bracket here. Ikad amri kadei shelas harav la Talmud, or the greeting that the Rav issues to his Talmud, which is Shalom Alecha. We're talking 2-3 words most. Now, this denial entailed at least 6 words. Ad amri, until they get to say their 6 words, which is Shvua, we swear, Shein, Anhu, Yoidin, Lecha, the 6 full words. They turn down this offer, we have no idea, we can't help you. That's way more than 2-3 words worth of time, tu bahavi. So, once the second fellow gets up and starts declaring his, issuing his denial, he's already way past kedei dibor of the first testimony, of the first, aid's denial. Amarle, he says, no, it's not an issue. As long as he begins within this time span to his friend's denial. You're right. Reuven issues his denial, and within a short time, within a second or two, Shimon begins. That's okay. That combines them into one experience and is deemed one simultaneous denial, and they're both chayev. However, if first Reuven denies, so he's chayev, but then Shimon later on denies, at that point, he's a stranded fellow. He no longer has a teammate who would potentially join with him to testify. He's just one alone. One alone, like we explained, can't do much. So he's not really depriving our friend of testimony. He's not depriving him of testimony that can generate income, which is a prerequisite for Shavuos Ha'edus. Now, what he could still do is cause the defendant to swear. That's the halacha we learn in the pasuk. Eid Echad can't do much in terms of triggering punishment or extracting money, but he could be mechayiv him a shvua. Says the Gemara, mas nisn d'leki haitana. So in fact, the Mishnah of ours, which indicates that aid number two, let's call him Shimon, is not really able to offer testimony that's effective and helpful financially, monetarily to our friend, and therefore he's potter. Masis leke aitanu is not in line with the following shita, which is Reb Lezer, Reb Shimon, who says, even one aid is chayev in this case. The sanya mashbia idechad, if he inswears one aid and he turns him down, right? So if one aid is uncooperative, potter, because at most he could have, made a little trouble and he could not have extracted money on your behalf. Reb Lezer, Reb Shimon says, he's chayev, mechayev. Okay? So, clearly, our Mishnah is not following this opinion, but first, why? What's this machlekes about? Whether an Eid Echad is liable or not. Leimu baka miflugi, perhaps we can suggest that the machlekes revolves around a very fundamental question. We're assuming Eid Echad cannot extract money. Is that true? Maybe not. The marsavar Eid Echad ki yasa l'shvo dukasa. The Chachamim say, at most, an Eid Echad can accomplish a shvoa. So he's not really depriving you monetarily. So he's not chayiv for Shavua Seidus. Umar Savar. Rav Lezer Shimon disagrees. He He says an eidechet cannot bring avoin and chatos. He can't, you know, trigger a, you know, punishment process on account of the bezdin, but he could perhaps extract money for you. Eidechet ki aslam amayna kaasa. He could come, help you in your case, and extract your money. His testimony is sufficient to extract money as well, in which case that would explain why he's chayev by shvuos ha'edus, because he deprived you of, you know, potential income. Is that true? No, if it is, perhaps, can you suggest that in fact Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon holds the reason for the Edechad's liability is due to his ability to extract money? It's untrue, as we're going to see from the following statement of Abaye, who cites an assortment of different cases, different variables, you know, of Shavuos Eidus variables, where the aid or the Edim were uncooperative, and they swore as such, and they turned out to be, right? In some, Abaye will say they're Chayiv, in some, Pater, and in some, Machlekes. He's going to tie into our Machlekes. And in those cases, the question will really focus on a totally different point. Meaning, Eidechad cannot... It's not going to be a question of whether the Eidechad can actually extract money on your behalf. It's going to be a situation where he can perhaps be goyreim lemamim. He can strengthen, he can reinforce your case, your position, in a manner that perhaps could lead to, you know, some sort of financial gain. And according to Abaye, that would be the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon. That something which is greater than the moment, monetary causation, such as where the Eidechad could have come and helped you somewhat, could have testified on your behalf and painted the other fellow into a corner and forced him to swear, and maybe he wouldn't have sworn. Maybe he would have paid instead. He pulled out his wallet and paid instead of swearing. That's called Dover HaGoyrim Lamamin. He could give you a schus that can perhaps achieve, you know, financial, a gain. So based on Abaye's presentation and interpretation of this Machlekes, specifically the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, that it's connected to the idea of Goyim Lamamin. Clearly, the reason why Rezeb Shimon holds the Eidechad accountable is not because he can actually directly extract money on your behalf. No. Eidechad at most can trigger a shvua, force the defendant to defend his position with a shvua. But that's called Dover HaGoyim Lamamin. Ultimately, it can. There's a chance that can cause me some monetary gain if my opponent backs down and fails to swear. Okay, so that's in a nutshell the point of the next piece in the Gemara. From Abaye told us. So first we have sort of like a riddle listing of all kinds of, you know, and then the Gemara will explain. Hakol Moedim Beitzot, all agree. When we say all, we mean the Machlekes, the opinions of the Rabbanan, and what Rav Shimon just mentioned. They'll all agree in a case of Beitzot, with respect to the single aid by the Saita, that if he was uncooperative, he's chayev. And we'll see in a minute exactly what this means. Hakol moedim be'edei Saita, with respect to a different aspect of edei Saita, all agree they are potter. They're not deemed to have deprived you financially, even though they fail to cooperate. U'machlegis be'edei Saita. And a third element of the edus of Saita, a different part of the process, there, the Edim, well, it's a question, it's a machlekes. Okay, and we have another couple of cases. Hakol moedim be'ed echad. In a certain case of an Eidechad, all agree, he's chayiv. Hakol moedim be'ed shekenek dechash el shvua. Likewise, all agree in a case where the aid could have testified, in a case where your opponent was suspect of falsifying oaths, in which case the aid's appearance would have extracted money because the fellow could not swear anymore. In any case, he's liable. So we deduce from this statement of Abaye the fact that he links Rav Elazar ben Shimon's shita to these cases of Goyim Lamamin. We see that the issue is about causation. Is causation considered actual deprivation? Elo dekuli alma eidechad ki asu l'shvua kasa. You're right. All would agree that technically an Eidechad, at most he can do is force a shvua upon the opponent by way of his testimony. The Shvu'a Ka'asi. Okay, so then why is the Eid Echad Chayiv? If he failed to cooperate, why is that considered causing you financial loss? According to Blazer Rishimon, the answer is, it's a roundabout loss. V'chaka Miflegia, the Machlokes revolves exactly around this point. An indirect financial loss, a possible financial loss. A davar hagoyim l'mamon. Is that deemed financial loss or not? Mar Savar. So Blazer Rishimon holds, davar hagoyim l'mamon k'mamon dami. This type of thing which could bring you mamon is treated like mamon. So the Eid Echad's lack of cooperation is deemed in a way like financial deprivation. Umar Savar, Lavka Mamadami, Chachamim disagree. At most he could have done is force the cause the Bezin to impose a shvua upon your opponent. Well, you never know, he could have sworn, he could have not. That's not considered, he's not considered to have caused you financial loss. Okay, so let's go back and clarify Abaye's statement in all his cases. Gufa Amar Abaye, Hakol Moedim Beit Soita, Hakol Moedim Beit Dei Soita, Machlokes Beit Dei Soita, Hakol Moedim Beit Dei, just say the words, Beit Echad, Hakol Moedim Beit Dei, Shuk Nechad Chodesh Shavua. Okay, that's sort of the header. Now let's go into detail. Hakol Moedim Beit Soita, Shachai, what does that mean? So we all know that the Soita, the woman who's suspected of straying from her husband, she goes through, several stages in the process. There's the Akinoi, the Stira, and the Tumah. So initially the husband has to warn her against, secluding with this fellow. We have Edom, then in fact, that warning took place. At that point, nothing happens as of yet. But if it develops into the next level, which is Stira, she was found to be in seclusion with this fellow, then she must cooperate and go to the Beis HaMikdash and drink the, Meisoita, the miracle waters, which will prove her, hopefully, her innocence. Now, suppose we have a raya, even one aid, that in fact she committed that sin. She actually committed the sin with this fellow. At that point, she's ineligible for going to the Mikdash, to drinking the waters. She forfeits her ksuba payment from her husband. So we already see that there's some financial element here. There's a monetary issue related to a soita as well. It's not just, Isser and Heter. It relates to finances as well. Because if it's proven that she sinned, the husband no longer is obligated to pay her the ksuba payment to which he had committed way back during their marriage. Okay, so now let's say Hakol Moedim Be'ed Soita. The aid who is being uncooperative today is the aid Tuma. Allegedly he had information about her transgression, actual transgression, and he fails to come to the Bezin. He doesn't want to cooperate. So in this case, Shechayiv is liable for Shvua Sa'edis. It's because we're speaking Be'ed Tuma. The Rachmana, Hemne, the Torah would trust him, even though he's just one aid. There was nobody watching, nobody there. We learn from there. Nobody. But if even one aid should surface, should come forth, that she did the Avera, call Sheishba, even any type of testimony, even one aid. So his lack of testimony, his non-cooperation, cost the husband money. Had he come and testified, the husband would be potter from paying that ksuba. So certainly this aid is deemed chayav, having actually caused the husband direct loss. So all agree, this aid is chayav on account of shvua seidus. V'akol moedim beidei seidus shepotter. However, and the other element of Eidei Soita, all agree the Eidim are potter, even though they fail to cooperate. What are we speaking about? Eidei Kinei. Eidim, who can't theoretically testify about the initial warning, step number one of the Soita. And they fail to do so. They fail to cooperate. They fail to come. That's not really considered causing the husband financial loss. Davi Gerim de Gerim. It's a cause of a cause. It's still two steps away from a potential forfeiture of the ksuba. True, he warned her. The show's not over yet. We must have the kinei followed by stira, and then followed by tuma. We're still too far behind here. So although they should have cooperated, they should have testified that in fact the husband did warn, it was kinei, right? But failing to do so is not deemed edus on financial matters. It's just a gerim. The gerim all agree. It's too far removed from actual, you know, finances. Now, with respect to a different testimony of the Saita, we have a machlekes. What's that? Beidis tira. Regarding that middle step in the process. So he approached, the husband approached these edim, who allegedly witnessed her going into seclusion. They failed to come, they failed to cooperate, they deny, they swear. Adei chayev. Is that considered a monetary issue? So, it's not really directly monetary. It's not like the aid of tuma, which is directly going to deprive the isha of the ksuba, that's direct financial gain to the husband. But edus tira is still one step ahead, one step away. Because even if it's been proven that she was in seclusion, it's not done yet. She can choose to either go drink the waters, it could turn out that she's innocent and she'll get her ksuba, it can turn out that she'll, you know, buckle under pressure and she'll admit and she'll lose the ksuba. It can go either way. That's called goyrim lemamai. It can cause financial gain. It has a potential monetary, you know, element to it. And that's the machlekes between chachamim, who say no, and Rabbi Zev Shimon, who says yes. Mar Savar, he says, Davar hagoyrim lemamai kemamai dami. In which case, the edim are denying the husband of, you know, potential monetary gain. V'chayiv, and therefore the edim are chayiv. Humar sover, no, it's not deemed financial. Lav kumam dami upat. Okay, so again, in the Saita process, we have three steps. We have the kinoi, that's certainly not money related. We have the stira, which is somewhat money related. We have the tuma, which is directly money related. Then we have two more cases. Hakol moedim b'shekeneg dechash al shavua, and hakol moedim b'edeachad rabav. Explains the Gemara. Hakol moedim, we all agree, b'shekeneg dechash al shavua. So if the Eid Echad was being asked to testify and, you know, turns down the offer, in a case where Shekinegda Choshel HaShvua, so Reuven's, who's the plaintiff, who's the Teveya, right, has a claim against Shimon, who allegedly borrowed money from him, right? And Shimon doesn't have a great track record in the Bezdin. He's known to swear falsely. We would never trust him with a shvua. We don't want to risk a shvua sheker, right? So in this case, when the Teveya asked the aide to come testify on his behalf, he should have done so, and by turning down the offer, he's chayev, because he actually brought about financial loss to Reuven. Because Shimon could not have sworn. What's the point of an aide to force a shvua? Well, Shimon can't swear in this case. He's chashut, so he would have to pay. So by not coming, I lost that money. Asks the Gemara, who's the chashad? One second, the chashad man, who's the problematic fellow? Ilam the chashad loiva is Shimon, the alleged borrower, unable to swear. So the Amrli Malva, so the Malva, the lender, Reuven, has a complaint against the Eid Echad. Why don't you come help me? If only you would have come, I would have made that money. He asks Asad Asli, if only you would have testified for me, Hava Mishtabana Vishakilna. Halacha is, if my opponent is unable to swear, I swear, the Malva, Reuven, would swear and collect his money. So all you need to do is come, testify against my opponent. They know that he can't swear. I would swear and get the money. I lost the money because of you. Well, v'lemlei, the aide could respond and say, well, me, Yema, who says the Mishtabat? Who said you would have sworn? I mean, you're saying you would have sworn. Who says you would have dared swear? Maybe it's not even a... Not everybody likes to swear, not everybody, right? So, you can't claim direct financial loss. Ella rather says the Gemara Gun Shishnein Chashudin. Both people are suspect. Reuven and Shimon are both not to be trusted with a Shvua. Damar Man, we learned what happens in that case. Chazra Shvua L'Muchivla. The Shvua is sent back to the party who initially should have sworn, which is Shimon in this case. Typically you swear to absolve yourself, right? So Shimon should be making the Shvua, When he's a chashad, we flip it over to Reuven. But if Reuven is also a chashad, ping pong goes back to Shimon. Now Shimon is stuck. He can't swear. Halacha is, you can't swear, you pay. And since he can't swear, Mishalmi pays. Sheer lack of testimony, Mr. Aid, caused me financial loss. So therefore he's chayiv. And finally we have a case of Hakol Moedim Beid Echad Rab Abba. Likewise, all would agree in the following case of one aid. In a story which is called Rab Abba, we're going to see in a minute. He also caused me financial loss and he's chayiv. Taugavra, there was a story of a fellow, the Chotaf Nascha Mechabari grabbed a block of silver from his friend. Also come to Rab Ami. So the fellow came to complain to Rab Ami. Look what happened, the guy stole my... Have you Rab Abba come? Rab Abba happened to be sitting there. Okay, that was the setup. Rab Abba in front of Rab Ami. Okay, Ozl Aishi Chad Sada. So the complainer, the Teveya, found an aid that actually witnessed the grab. The Michtav Chatamine. And he came to the bez and running with the aid. He says, look, the guy robbed me. He stole my... So Rab Ami turns to the alleged robber. No, what do you have to say for yourself? Amalei says, you know what? I have no complaints. It's all true. And yeah, Chatfi, I grabbed it. But here's the punchline. But Didi Chatfi was mine. Sure, I grabbed it because he was holding my thing. Now we're stuck. Rab Ami was in a dilemma. Heichi l'dayni, dayni l'aydin. How would judges approach this case? L'shalim. We have several options. Should we oblige the fellow to pay back the thing? Lekatrei Sade, we have no aidim against him, we only have one aid. And Rashi explains, if he would have... in the next one. So here it's a straightforward question, should we make him pay? Well, we have no two aidim. Meaning at most, you can make him swear. One aid can trigger a shvuah. Lifterei. Should we just send them home? And Rashi here says, well, why would you send him home? Why would we think of that? Because he was a migu. He could have just denied the whole story. Right? If he's lying, he could have just said, I never took it. So perhaps we should accept his claim that he took it and it was his. Well, you can't do that either. Ikachat Sada. We have an aid against him. So had he denied it, he would have had to swear. So it's not much of a claim, right? He didn't have much of an alternative. We have an aid that he grabbed it. Okay, so then the third option would be l'shtava, let him swear against the aid. He can't do that either, because typically you swear against the aid. The aid says A, you have to swear B. Aid says, you know, you borrowed money, you have to deny it with a shvuah. But here he can't deny the fact. He agrees that he grabbed it. See, the aid has no idea about ownership. He's testifying about a grab. I agree I grabbed it, so what am I going to swear? I didn't grab it, I grabbed it. Right? So I can say I grabbed it, but it was mine. Well, saying it's mine is not opposing the aid. The aid doesn't know whose it is. That's not a proper shvuah. L'shtaba, could he swear? No. Kivin d'amar in chatvi. Since he agrees that he grabbed it, but didi chatvi, he's just claiming that it was his. Havlik gazlan. Then he's like a fellow who's supposed to swear, but he can't. He's not able to swear. It's like a mashal, like a gazlan, like a robber. Who was, you know, obliged to swear, but he can't because he's not eligible, he's not trusted. So in similar fashion, this fellow, we're stuck. He should be swearing, but he can't. There's no point in swearing about something that the aide can't really talk about. Amar Rab Abba. So Rab Abba, who was sitting there, said, look, havali mechuyav shvuah. This is the correct, I think this is the correct approach to the whole shaila. This fellow is chayav shvuah. That's what happens. If you can't swear, you have to pay. So back to our story, we had a fellow approaching an Eid Echad who could have testified in a similar type of circumstance, right? And brought about payment, and it turned out the offer. He was uncooperative. He swore to the effect that he doesn't know the facts. His chayiv shvuos eidus, because ultimately I could have gained money on his account. He caused me loss. Okay, so summarize, we have five cases presented by Abaye, three by the Soita, two regarding an eid echad, and some we say is chayiv, some we say is pater, and it really depends on whether he caused me financial loss. Amar Papa, two more cases. Hakol moedim beid misa shu chayiv. What if the uncooperative aid was an aid misa? a single witness, right? We have a woman trying to remarry based on rumors that her husband died, and we have an Edecha that he died. And he refuses to come testify. I have better things to do, I'm not coming. Okay, and he denies, and he lies, and Shu Chayiv, he has to pay him. He's Chayiv a carbon. Why? Because aside from, you know, the remarrying aspect, if as soon as it's confirmed that her husband died, she's entitled to get the ksuba payment. Every widow gets a ksuba payment. And the fact that he didn't come and help her, that caused her financial loss. V'akol moed eid misa shu pater. In a different variation of an eid misa, who was uncooperative, he's pater. Which is which? Says the Gemara, v'akol moed eid misa shu pater. In some cases he's pater. We're speaking that he related to her the facts. He told her that he knows the husband died. And that's really enough. Technically, that's enough for her to remarry and get the ksuba. So although he failed to come to the bezin, that's not necessary to give her the green light to proceed. Even though he failed to testify before the court, that shouldn't halt the process. That shouldn't prevent her from remarrying and getting that payment. That's not, we have a Mishnah in Maseches Yevamos, right? We're very lenient when it comes to remarriage. Ha'isha she'amar meis ba'al, even the woman can testify and say, look, I know my husband died, tinase. Okay, we allow her to remarry. Meis ba'al to siyavim or to go to yivam. So, as long as you relay that information to the woman directly, theoretically that's enough to trigger this process, in which case, his non-cooperation did not really cost her anything in his pot. But Akol Moedim Eid Misa Shul Chayiv, all would agree, in a different instance of an non-cooperative Eid Misa that is Chayiv, where he failed to convey any information to anybody. He kept it to himself, he was tight-lipped, so certainly, he deprived her. Lo Yomer Lo Ledida, Lo Yomer Lo Lebezn, he didn't speak to her, nor did he convey to the Bezn. In this case, he's Chayiv. Asks the Gemara, hold it. Typically, the ksuba payment is collected from properties, from karka. That's the aloha. So, do you mean to say, Shmamino, can we learn from this, that mashbia eid karka chayev? That even the Shvuos Eidus directed at Eidim with respect to a real estate claim. Right? So if they fail to testify on my behalf with respect to a real estate claim. It's a whole discussion later on in the parak. It's not so simple. If you're holding him accountable for non-cooperation by a ksuba claim, which is also a real estate claim, apparently you're telling me it's chayiv? No, dilma de tfisa matatli. Perhaps we're speaking that she already had in her possession some items, some matatlan, money, etc., which she sought to, you know, hold for the ksuba payment. So in this case, his lack of cooperation cost her actual money and not karka. Kafir echad vayda echad. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah. So the two eidim turned them down. At once, they're both chayiv. Bezer echazeh. Sequentially, first he turned them down. An hour later, his teammate turned them down. Only the first one's chayiv. But at that point, we had a team that could have testified. So his lack of cooperation cost me. But once he's off the table, once he was kafir, an hour later, his friends, kafir, didn't really harm me anything because at that point, he was just one man alone who couldn't really do much. But the first aid is chayiv. Right? So even though the first aid can really, Reuben can really say, look, what harm did I do to you? Look, my teammate Shimon was not ready to testify either. Look, he also denied. He also was kafir. We don't care, because at that point, when Reuven did the kafira, it was still early in the game. He was the first one to turn it down. At that point, Shimon was still a potential witness. So Shimon's Reuven's kafira is considered a full kafira and is chayiv. And in the third case, the Mishnah has kafir echad v'hoyda echad. Reuven was kafir, but Shimon was a willing witness. V'hoyda, no problem, I'm going to come, right? Here as well, the Mishnah says, Reuven is chayiv, Shimon is potter. Now, why even mention this third case? Isn't it obvious that Reuven would be chayiv in this case where Shimon was willing to testify? So even if even in the previous case that they both turned me down, but separately, we say, well, Reuben, at that point you were still a potential witness, you still had a teammate, so you're a chayiv. Certainly in this case, where Shimon was willing to testify, of course Reuben is chayiv and is held accountable. Says the Gemara, hashta b'zeh achazeh. If in the previous case, the middle case of the Mishnah, where first Reuben denied and then Shimon denied, the tavai kol kafri, where both are turning me down. Still, we say Amris, we say Arishon Chayev, Reuven is Chayev. Despite the fact that Shimon eventually turned me down as well, so Reuven on his own couldn't really do. We don't care because at the point of Reuven's denial, Shimon had not yet denied. Shimon was still a potential witness. So Reuven, you caused me loss. Amris, Arishon Chayev, Asheni Pater. Certainly in this case, where Shimon was willing to testify, of course Reuven is held accountable. What's the point of even discussing this? Kafir echad, Reuven was kafir, void echad, Shimon agreed, mebaya? Why even discuss this? Like Tzricha says, we're not speaking about a straightforward case. It must be higan shekafir shneim. Reuven and Shimon both turn me down. V'chazer echad mehen, v'hoida. And one of these fellows, let's say Shimon, right, came back and retracted his denial. Agreed to come along, and he did it very quickly. Right within that short span, he undid his kfira. Right, so the chiddush is that he's potter. The chiddush here is that the moida is potter, even though he already denied, but he can undo it as long as it's done pretty quickly. Welcome, the point of the mission is the kedibur dom. Anything that transpires within this short lapse of time, even a retraction of a kfira, holds true. Now, as discussed, we had three cases here. Right? We had both kofer together. See, on that we had a whole discussion before. Was it really together? Right? Efshalat samtzim? Or was it, you know, close enough to each other that it's deemed one experience? Because it's tekeh de'dibur. So we really discussed. Once we discussed tekeh de'dibur up there in that first case, why discuss it again in the third case? So Bishlam Rav Chizda, the Mukil Alahu, Kribisi Aglili. So according to Rav Chizda's approach, that the simultaneous denial in case number one was in accordance with Kribisi Aglili, that it's possible to have a perfectly timed simultaneous denial. Okay, so Reish Efshalat Samsim, that first halacha is teaching us Efshalat Samsim, the Seifa, and the most recent halacha here, recanting a kfira, tech de dibur, is teaching us a brand new concept, Israq Lashminan, the tech de dibur, it's within that time, it's considered one experience. Okay, that's understood. El Rabbi Yechna, contra Rabbi Yechna, who learns that case number one was also tech de dibur. It wasn't perfectly timed, it was, you know, close enough to each other, as deemed one experience. So why repeat the same concept twice in the Mishnah? Reisha tech de dibur, and the Seifa again is teaching us the very same halach of tech de dibur. Why the repetition? Tati Lamali, why say it twice? The answer is Ma'od HaTema. Perhaps I would say, Han Emila, when do we combine the two denials? When it's a kfira, u kfira. So we say it's one experience. He denied, and he denied. It's one continuous experience. Aval kfira vahida. But if he was kafir, and then he came back and retracted it, he was Ma'od, who says he can undo that? Emila, perhaps it's too late. Kamashman, the point is, it's not too late. You can undo it. Hoyish de'edim, shteki de'edim. Suppose he approached two teams, two separate teams of witnesses, to come help, and they both lied, and they turned them down. Kafar Rishayna, so first team turns them down. Vachaka Kafar Ashni, and then the second team, they are both Chayev. Bishlam Ashniyat is Chayev. I understand why team number two is Chayev. At that point, they were the only potential witnesses left on the scene, because the first team had already turned down the offer, alleging that they, you know, they're not eligible witnesses, the Kafal Rishayna. So you understand why the second team is liable, because they did him in. El Rishayna Amai Mechaiva, what's wrong with the first team? When they turn them down, they can claim, Hokai Moshnia, we have a backup team. There's another team of potential witnesses that they can come help you. So technically speaking, we didn't really cause you financial loss. Amar Avinach, my skin was speaking about a very special, unique case. But in fact, at the time when the first team denied, there was no other team available. We're speaking that there was a second team, but they were not eligible to testify at that very moment. They were deemed relatives of the parties in question. When the first team was being kaifer, the second team at that point were kroivim ben shaseyan. They were married to two sisters, and brothers-in-law cannot serve as witnesses on the same team, right? So the only available team was the first team. So it happens to be the women were deathly ill and on the verge of death. And that's what exactly happened. They died. So eventually, they became eligible. And that's when the fellow approached them as well, and they denied the chayev, right? But in between, there was a moment in time where they were craved, not really eligible for testimony. Perhaps I would think the first team can absolve themselves by saying, look, technically speaking, they're still relatives, but unless a miracle happens, they're going to be able to help you. We have a backup team. Roiv Geisim Lamisa, because most people in this situation die. So perhaps they can absolve themselves by shifting responsibility. Kamashma, on the point of the Mishnah, is no, you can't do that. Because when he approached team number one, they were the sole potential witnesses, and their kfira caused them loss. And although ultimately team number two became activated when their wives died and became non-relatives, that wouldn't help absolve team number one. So ultimately when team number two denied him as well, certainly they're chayiv as well. Okay, let's just summarize today's daf. We have the chiddush of Shmuel. Shavuos Eidus must be triggered by the Baal Din himself approaching the Eidim. Imloy, right? Imloy Yagit. The Shavuos can take place outside the Bezin as long as the Kfir is in the Bezin. We learned about Tarka Kedibu Kedibu Dami. We had three cases in the Mishnah. They were both Kefir Ke'echad. We have two Pshatim either Eshalot Samsum or Tarka Kedibur. We have Kafar Rishin. So in this case, both are Chayiv. We have Reuben was Kefir, followed later on by Shimon. In this case, only Reuben is Chayiv. Certainly, in the case where Reuben was Kefir and later on Shimon was Moida, of course, only Reuben is Chayiv. Now, regarding being Mashbia and Eid Echad, it's a Machlaikas. And as concluded, Machlaikas revolves around Dover Hagarim Lamamim. Right? And Eid Echad, in most cases, can just cause a Shvuah, which can perhaps yield you some income if the fellow chooses to pay instead of swearing. No, so Blazer Shimon says that's also considered depriving me financially, depriving me that chance of earning that money, and therefore he's chayiv shvuos eidus. Chacham disagree. Now regarding soita, the eidim of kinoi are not really considered financially involved. The eidim of stira, well, that's close enough to money. That's a machlekes. The eid tumah is certainly impacting the husband financially and his chayiv. And eid echad, in the case of both people chashudim al hashvuah, there's not going to be a shvuah, only payment. That's certainly financially connected. Likewise, in the case of the case of Nascha de Rabbi Abba, when he grabbed it, etc., which would trigger a payment, in that case, the Eid Echad is liable because his testimony would have triggered income. Regarding the Eid who will testify about the husband's passing, if he conveyed the information to the woman, that's enough. Otherwise, again, his lack of cooperation is deemed to have caused a financial loss and is chayiv on account of Shvuas HaEidus. We concluded with the last case in the Mishnah where he approached two teams of witnesses separately. They both turned him down. Mishnah says, they are both chayiv. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabba.